Many of us remember him many years back as Superman, daring, handsome, unbelievably courageous, having a near-perfect life. But the Christopher Reeve we knew in later years was a man trapped in a wheelchair, living a very broken life. But after his accident, apparently, he decided to concentrate on what was left, not just on what he had lost. And over the 9 years after the accident, the world learned to admire his unyielding optimism and his refusal to sink into despair. In my many years as a priest, I have spent much time trying to comfort people whose lives had been derailed by one serious failure or by one tragic accident. Mothers of young men who had committed suicide. Mothers of young babies who had died in their childhood. Wives whose husbands had walked away. Men made redundant. People sexually abused within their own families. And much of the time I felt and feel helpless, unable to say anything that might bring a bit of comfort. And much of the time I have been astonished by the strength and courage of the people who told me their stories. And this experience leaves us with the great question: when our lives hit the buffers, when our dreams are shattered, do we allow ourselves to sink into bitterness and perhaps even rail against God for the unfairness of life? Or do we look deeply into ourselves and only then discover all that we have within? This, of course, does not make light of the hurt or deny it, but it saves us from despair and enables us in time to embrace life again. I continue to see the reality of God most of all in the ability of ordinary people to respond with amazing strength to situations that could cripple them forever. And I include not only the people themselves who are afflicted, but parents, doctors, families, friends, who respond to those whose lives are shattered with love and compassion, where they might easily respond with anger and neglect. There is an assumption, isn't there, that people who have been traumatized by sexual abuse, by crippling injury, by loss of a parent early in life, by cruel betrayal, that they will be scarred for life. Some indeed are scarred for life. But there is great evidence that most people show an astonishing capacity for emotional and spiritual healing. They obviously go through a period of depression and anger, but most of the time, most of us find a way through it and emerge ready to pick up our lives again and go on. I've known many people who had the courage to say, life is hard. Let's be strong enough not to be broken by it. Which brings us to today's gospel. When Judas had gone, that fateful sentence. And we remember the whispered conversation between Judas and Jesus over the table, and the instruction by Jesus telling him to go and do what he had to do. And Judas went out and closed the door behind him. But look at what happens next. Jesus is fully aware that his fate is now sealed. But he sets his face towards what is to happen. And he sets his gaze on the Father. Earlier in the account of the Last Supper, we are told that Jesus was deeply troubled in spirit. But now he breaks out into a kind of triumphant prayer. He talks a strange language, at least strange to our ears. He speaks of being glorified by the events that are coming up, that are about to destroy him physically. 5 times in that short passage he uses the word glorified. He's going to be glorified by his dying. But he will bring life out of death. And he will bring with him to resurrection all those who entrust their lives to him in times of trouble. Belief in the resurrection means believing that no situation is a dead end, that there is help in beginning again, that life will flower again. Instead of exhausting ourselves, railing against the unfairness of life, we set our faces towards taking up our lives again, setting our eyes on Jesus, and using our strength to comfort one another in a world that is certain to mock our dreams and break our hearts. The great enemy in life is not failure or having our dreams shattered. The great enemy is, as we know, throwing in the towel and shutting oneself up in bitterness and recrimination. In a poem by Mary Oliver called "When the Roses Speak, I Pay Attention," she says, "Listen, the heart shackles are not, as you think, death, illness, pain, unrequited hope, not loneliness, but lassitude, regret, vainglory, fear, anxiety, selfishness. The heart shackles are not, as you think, death, illness, pain, unrequited hope, not loneliness, but lassitude, regret, vainglory, fear, anxiety, selfishness."